Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
What a place, hey, what an eruption, what a place this is. Who loves Pastor Matt and Pastor Michaela? Amazing, amazing. Gosh, we had a great first service. I'm hoping you won't let me down. Give someone a high five, you can take your seats, and you guys can take your seats as well. Johnny, you can take your seat as well. And, well, so good to be here. Gosh, this place is fresh, isn't it? Like, this place is fresh. And I had a great time in the first service. This is a pumping location, isn't it? Something's definitely up in this place, and I am enthused by you. And Tebow, who's from Hope City Church in Birmingham, he said, well, Dave, we need to bring the whole team over here. That's how good it feels to us. And gosh, Garrison's a good singer, isn't he? Where is he? Is he out having a cigarette? Where's Garrison? Is he around? Is he? And yeah, hey. I haven't got a prophecy. And Faith's good, isn't she? Faith. She's good, isn't she? Uh-huh. She's like the Christian Katy Perry, isn't she? The Katy Perry of C3 San Diego. You gotta have one. You've got one. You've got her. Here, you got the best. I said in their first service that we love America. The more I come here, the more I'm loving America and the American dream, and everybody's up, right? Everyone in England's down, but everyone in America's up. And someone said, you know, someone asked a national newspaper what it means to be British, and someone wrote in and said, being British is driving a German car to an Irish pub for a Belgian beer, and then driving home, dropping in, picking up a Turkish kebab, to go home to sit on Swedish furniture to watch an American TV show on a Japanese TV. That's what British means. And then they said this, you won't get this, they said the most British thing of all is suspicion of foreigners. And that's why we voted Brexit. British exit. We haven't quite made our peace with the Germans. But it take a little bit longer, we'll be fine. So I said, when I came, this is the second time I've been here in C3 San Diego. The first time I talked about a leaders meeting that I went to. It was a conference. Yeah, maybe about 400 or 500 people at the conference. And then after my first session, I went to the toilet and I went into the cubicle. And when I was in the cubicle, two guys came to the urinal and they were talking to each other, which really, I can't do two things at once. Like, I'm amazed. Most guys can't. They're autistic, aren't they? They can just do one thing. They can't talk to the wife, watch sport at the same time. You know, they've just got a touch of autism. But these guys were able to chat away. And they said, hey, what do you think about Dave Gilpin? So I pressed video record on my phone immediately, made sure it was pointing the wall, right? And they said, yeah, it's quite funny. Yeah, got good content and everything like that. Then the guy said to the other guy, so do you think that Dave Gilpin is too old to be wearing skinny jeans? And the other guy's waiting for the answer. The other guy said, yep, I do. Far too old. Then the hairdryer went off and they left. I started to cry. And then I thought revenge served cold is the best. So I came out from a second session. I just played the video. And I said, who are these two guys? And they refused to make themselves known. Still wearing skinny jeans. I won't. Yeah, it's all right for you in California, but I'm not going to preach in Texas. I'm going to think I'm gay. I don't know, I have to do the Breakback Mountain tour of Texas or something like that. But I don't know, but I'm sticking with California. I think Californians are the best. I'm not going to Texas. I'm staying in California. I'm received well in California. So I'm going to talk to you. If I was a motivational speaker, I'd talk to you about coming off the grandstand and coming on to the field and scoring some goals for the kingdom of God. And I used to just say that. I used to say, come on, let's stop being so lazy. Let's kick ourselves in the backside. Let's get down and let's score some goals. Then I realized, right, that there's a small sliver of land, just a small strip of land in between the grandstand and the field of play. It's never shown much by the TV cameras and it's never lit up by the neon lights. But it's a small slither of land called the bench. And I'm going to talk about that today because I got a feeling that the bench is one of the most important strips of land on the field that's the most understated but the most necessary. And there's been no star, no legend, no star player who hasn't spent time on the bench. And so if star players and legends have had to spend time on the bench, then why not you? You're star players for the kingdom of God. So why should you be always on the field scoring goals when they're not? Wow. I've learned this about the bench is that a lot of people think that they're on the shelf. And I've discovered that God in all of his history has never made a shelf. God doesn't make shelves. None of you are on the shelf. Not one of you in this room is on the shelf. You feel redundant, but it's only a feeling. You feel ignored. You feel completely out of the limelight. But God hasn't made a shelf in his entire existence, but God is good at making benches. You're not on the shelf, you're on the bench. That's where you are. You're on the bench right now. That's where you are. God loves benches. And some of you who are exhausted, just need to come off the field, park that derriere of yours, not in the plastic bucket seats of the grandstand to become a critic, but to park it on the bench. And some of you in this room just need to stay on the bench just a little bit longer. Your number's not up yet. It will be up soon, but it's not up just now. There's just a little bit more that God wants to do for you and God wants to do in you. So some of you just stop letting your love language be performance. It doesn't serve you well. You need to come from the love language of results to the love language of resting and come back on to the bench. And yet there's some people here that you need to buckle up those shoes. You need to get ready because your number's up right now. And you're about to score some massive goals, some hat tricks for the kingdom of God. And you think, well, I just got used to the bench. Don't get used to it any longer. Your number's up. Your time's up. It's now time for the greatest season of performance your life has ever seen in the history of your life. Uh-huh. Let me say that not every great player is on the field scoring goals all at the same time. Some are resting Some are recovering. Some are reinventing. Some are rethinking. Some are injured. And some are just brand new to the Premier League, brand new to the game. But you know, you can tell the future of a team, and you can tell the future of CC San Diego, not by, you know, Mr. Garth Brooks here, not by Mrs. Katy Perry here. You can't tell the future by those. You can't really tell whether this team's going to go all the way by who's on the field, but you can tell by who's on the bench. And it's called depth of team. You can tell whether this church is going to go all the way, not by those out front, but by those who are on the bench. That's how you can tell. That we need to have a five-star bench in this church in order to have a five-star team. Can you say amen? In English football doesn't do very well in any international competition, right? I think it's the DNA. But one amazing player is David Beckham, right? And David Beckham was injured a number of years ago at the World Cup in South Africa. And yet David Beckham wasn't on the grandstand. David Beckham was on the bench. He wasn't on the shelf. He wasn't at home in a onesie. He wasn't on the stands. He wasn't in the commentary box. He was on the bench. He was injured. He was down, but he wasn't out. And I need to say to everyone even this morning, it's okay to be down as long as you don't rule yourself out. It's okay to be down, but not out. It's wrong to be down and out. You don't want to be down and out. You don't want to be a down and out. You want to be down, but not out. And that's the spirit that he carried. There's a bunch of people here that are now like Beckham's on the bench. People young and old who have been in a field of conflict, in the arena of Goliath slaying, forerunners in the game. You've been knocked around. You're not out. Because right now is your season to recover, to rest. You've completed a season, an innings, and a tour of duty. So firstly, I want to say to all of you, thanks. Thanks for doing it, because I'm standing on the shoulders of giants. If you didn't slay Goliath, you certainly weakened him. So I've come along on the field, I'm scoring some goals, it's because somebody weakened the opposition. So you got injured by it. Thanks. Thanks for your injuries. Because in doing so, you weakened the forces of darkness so that we could come along fresh, full of energy, full of reinvention to do our stuff. So thank you for the giants in the land today who are currently sitting on the bench. You've done a great job. Secondly, I want to say to you that just because you're not on the field doesn't mean you're not part of the team. Who said that? Who said to you that you're no longer part of the team? Who told you that? Who whispered that in darkness to you? You're a part of the team as much as you're a part of the team when you were scoring a hat trick. That's how much part of the team you are. You need to shoot down your inferiority, and that rejection complex is not serving you well. You're a part of the team. You're a part of the team C3 San Diego. You're a part of the team. Thank you for being a faithful team member. Thank you for being on the bench, showing us the way and creating a way for us to move it. And this psalm's not going to come up, but Psalm 134 talks about you. It's those who minister by night in the house of the Lord. And it just says, lift up your hands and bless the Lord. So lift up your hands, holy hands. Stop complaining. Stop saying I'm down and out. It's a lie. Lift up your hands and start to bless God. You're valued here. Manchester United isn't great just because of the Wayne Rooneys and the Ryan Giggs, but it's because of the Matt Busbys, the Bobby Charltons, and the George Bests. A great team is a deep team where talent, history, experience, and wisdom extends to the weather-beaten slats of the bench. okay, now I need to say to you that the game is not over until the fat angel sings. Now, I never heard a fat angel sing. So it means the game is not over. This game is still in operation. It's still happening. You're in the middle of the game here. You're on the bench, but we're in the middle of a game here. We need you. It's not over. It's not over. And you know, when Jesus said it's finished, it kind of was finished. It kind of wasn't finished. So it's like saying, yeah, I finished a chapter of a book. That's what he was saying. I finished. He's on the cross. Finish. What do you finish, Jesus? A chapter called salvation. But his life wasn't finished because he's still alive today. He's still doing great things today as he did 2,000 years ago. So if his life's gone on, the adventure of life, him interceding on our behalf has gone on and on and on and on. So the season had finished, but the adventure hadn't finished. So I would hazard a guess that season's over. But your life's not over. You're not on a shelf. You're on a bench. A shelf's forever. A bench is only for a little bit of time. It's just a short bit of time. The end of a season is not the end of the journey. It's an ad break. You Americans know about ad breaks. So many ad breaks. I'm trying to enjoy CSI Miami. It's full of ad breaks. For drugs. With the largest part of the ad being the small print of how you're going to die if you take a bit too much of this stuff. You're on the blank sheet of paper between chapters. I like that blank sheet because I'm a slow reader, so it makes me feel like I'm really reading fast here. I love that page. But some of you are stuck on that page. So you're looking at it and think, game over. No. It's just a divider. It's not game over. It's just a divider between chapters. Turn it over. Oh, game over. No. Turn it over. Turn it over. Some of you are brand new to this church. This is the turnover time. Some of you are thinking, gosh, you know, no one knows me here. It's because of the turnover time between seasons. This is the ad break. This is the blank sheet of paper. This is, you may feel like you're on the shelf. It's not true. You used to be the star player, the life of the party, the one that others wanted on their team. You used to have a bunch of friends you did everything together with. You used to maybe run worship, maybe stewards, maybe you're on eldership. Some of you used to be in a relationship that despite your best efforts, slowly grew cold and distant and it died in your hands. Well, it's not the end. It's an ad break. It's just a blank sheet of paper. That's all it is. The ways of the righteous spiral, let me think, upwards. You got to have chapters to make a great story. This is your opportunity to recover. You need it. To get reinvented, to get recharged. Because the greatest season of your life is about to begin. And you know, life wasn't as good as you say life was when life was supposed to be good. You know, a lot of you think, gosh, they were the good old days. Really? Really? Some people say music used to be a lot better, you know, back in the days. If you're my age, Led Zeppelin. It wasn't that good. Some of you think, bring back the Captain and Tennille. No, don't bring back the Captain and Tennille. Some of you are still stuck in Bad Company, the band. Don't bring them back. Don't bring Culture Club back, please. Please. And please, not another Spice Girls reunion. Father, save us from that. It's just what you do is you think, yeah, life used to be. No, no, the history of your life was square peg in round hole. That was the entire history of your life. Square peg in round hole. Every relationship that now has died, it's because it was square peg round hole. And you think that were the good old days. They weren't. School was not as good as you thought it was. University was terrible. The bits you can remember. You know, that your 20s weren't that good. Your 30s weren't that good. But some of you look back because you look back with rose-tinted glasses. But the entire history of your life was square peg in round hole. And it won't do for God. So God takes you out of round hole. You think it's game over. I'm on the shelf. No, 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 no. It's not game over. It's repositioning you for game started, for game on, for game on. But I get how God does that because God wants to create character in us. He wants our foundations to be wide. So He wants to knock the edges off us. And so He wants us to strengthen our weaknesses. But life isn't all about strengthening your weaknesses. At some stage, God actually wants to strengthen your strengths. And so life isn't all about character. There's a moment that God moves from character to charisma because that's the spirit of strength that's in you. To be a square peg in a square hole, triangular peg in a triangular hole, round peg in a round hole. So what God's done, He's just taking you out of the hole you're in. And to be honest, you're in a hole. But sometimes, you know, we like the hole we're in. Sometimes, you know, the enemy and the flesh, the lion and the bear come against us, and we call the bear Yogi and the lion Simba. We make friends with our enemy. And some of you have Stockholm syndrome. That you like being in that dungeon because there's a place of safety. You call it good, but it's corrupt. It's not good. It's not right. Praise God for the providence of God that can see your future from a higher position and takes you out of the hole and finds the right fit for you. That's what God's doing. He's finding the right fit for you. He's finding the right fit for you. Psalm 138, verse 8. The King James says, "The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever." The NIV says, "The Lord won't abandon the works of His hands." He's not about to abandon you. That's your abandonment complex. I don't know where that came from, but ignore it. Because God's not an abandoning God. It says in Philippians 1 verse 6 that he who started a good work in you, He'll be faithful to complete the good work in you. God started it, God will complete it. It's not by might or power. God started it, God will finish it. God will finish it. He'll finish this. He won't abandon you mid-race. Other people may be doing what you used to do. You used to be number 7, somebody else is wearing your jersey. Somebody else has your old boyfriend. Somebody else has your old business. Somebody else has your old dreams. Other people may be spending late into the night with exactly the same people you used to burn the midnight oil with. I've got two words for you. Move on. Like, move on. You are a, let me think, broken record? There has to come a time when you just move on. You know, some of you are crying over spilt milk. But what I've learned is once the milk goes under the refrigerator, there's nothing much you can do about retrieving the milk you've spilt. But a lot of Christians spend their lives bending over the refrigerator of life, trying to retrieve the spilt milk of life, crying all the way. Some of you need to stop crying. Some of you need to stop crying over spilt milk. Let it dry up under the fridge. A lot of other things have dried up under your fridge. Just stop looking under your fridge. You'll find stuff. Seek and you'll find. Just don't look. This is what God said to Samuel in 1 Samuel 16, verse 1. This is after Saul had completely mucked it up being king. The Lord said to Samuel, how long are you going to cry over Saul? I rejected. He's a previous king. I've rejected him as king. Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. You're on your way to anoint the next king. Stop crying over the previous king and anoint the next king. Stop crying over the old move of God and anoint the next move of God. Get it? Get it? Stop looking backwards. Forget what's behind you. Press on toward the upward goal of Christ. Press on to the next season, the new season. Come on, the next you, the next big thing. Press on, press on, press on. So move on. Stop looking back. Stop it. It's naughty. God's giving you the oil of joy for mourning. He's refilling your horn with oil for the new season. She's not worth you crying over her. He's not worth you crying over him. It's the new season that God has total focus on. And it's round peg, round hole. Square peg, square hole. It's perfect fit for misfits. Your history is a misfit. You've been a misfit. But your future is perfect fit because God's leading you onwards. There's some people in this room that need to get off the field. You're clogging up the pitch, your old wineskin, you're itchy, scratchy, and we don't like you. Like Pastor Matt told me to insert that in the middle of the message. He says, somewhere in there, Dave, I'd like you to release my frustrations. And as a fellow pastor, I said gladly to him. And you're just grumpy. Someone asks you to do something, you drag your feet. You don't carry a cross, you drag your cross and you leave skid marks everywhere you go. You're the skid mark king, skid mark queen. It's because everything you do with complaint. You whinge all the time. We want things to be done with the spirit of joy. You're just a whinger. It's just better if you just go to the bench. We're trying to score goals here, and your whinging and complaining is just annoying us. So it'd just be great if you just hopped on the bench just for a while. You're too sour, you're too angry, you're too mad. And you're a one-hit wonder. You're a broken record. I've heard your record. We've heard it. I don't know. Crack it, break it. Get on the bench and create a second hit. You've lost your spark, your va-va-voom. Lost your mojo. Bench. It's time for a Sabbath rest. If you can allow this season to end, you'll allow the new season to begin. If you can release your identity from what you do and from who you're hanging around with back to who created you and whose you are, we are in business. No more one-hit wonders. Here to be legends. We're here to be legends. John 15 verse 2 says, every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, but he's not a bad God. He only prunes in order that you might be even more fruitful. Everyone say that with me. Even more fruitful. Say it one more time. Even more fruitful. That's relationally, it's financially, it's spiritually, it's with authority in every area of your life. God wants you to be more, even more fruitful. And I realize in England, every leaf, every tree's got to let go of its leaves in autumn time, even though you don't have autumn here. We do have four seasons, not just one season, right? And you got two seasons in a day up to 11 o'clock. It's cloudy and misty. Then it's fine. It's fine. I thought it's going to rain, but it's fine. It's kind of like two seasons in one day, every day. But we have four seasons. And the only reason why a tree loses its leaves is because it's thinking about next summer. The only reason why God prunes you is because he's thinking about next summer. He's thinking about the even more fruitful. That's what he's thinking about. You want to lay it down. Some of you need to change your Facebook status back to single. Stop striving in that relationship. I'm on point today, aren't I? John 12, 24 says, unless the grain of wheat dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it becomes a very happy seed. Because it brings forth many, many seeds. Okay, to everyone on an ad break, beware of the grandstand, the looming shadow of cynicism that falls easily upon inactivity and insecurity. Stop hanging around negative people. Stop going off in a huff. Stop parking your backside in the plastic seats of the stands. And start to be in the right place at the right time. The bench. I got one more point. How about the keyboard player coming up and play something from Elton John? Or while she comes up, this book, The Hit Factory, is really about the next big thing is actually the next you. It's becoming the next you. Instead of being the old you, or the notorious B.I.G. you, or the narky you, or the naughty you, or the natural you. You want to be the next you. The next you is the next big thing. My wife's got a book, and it's from her devotionals. It's called She Is, and she's so prophetic, and she's written this devotional book from her devotionals. This goes through Psalm 31 woman. And all the different attributes, and it shares devotional keys that could really help your life in this coffee table book. Jesus Save Me From Your Followers, that's a great book. Sacred Cows Make Great Barbecues. I am a smiling assassin of sacred cows, by the way, and this book is brilliant. Henry Ford said, if you think you can about something or if you think you can't, you're both right. If you think you can, you possibly can. But if you think you can't, you absolutely can't. And so I've written a whole book on it. And in actual fact, in it, I just go through 21 of the most famous British sayings. For example, you can't have your cake and eat it too. I've got a whole chapter on why don't you bake two cakes. It's a chapter on the early bird catches the worm, but it is the second mouse that gets the cheese. You get that tomorrow. And this is my most famous thing. It's called the mind map. It's a actual A1 drawing of the Christian's mind. And I drew it in order to explain what actually happens in you. And if habits are like cities and cities leave a skyline, the skyline of your mind will determine the skyline of your future. There's no doubt about it. Be transformed by renewing of the thinking process. And so you need to discipline yourself to change the way you think, to be transformed. And God's getting you ready to be the next you, to experience the next big thing. If you buy three, you get the fourth one for free. Is that Tiny Dancer? We'll run with that. Lastly, it's not just the quality of the bench that makes a great team, it's the attitude of the bench. When England were losing, Beckham was standing up, not in a tracksuit, not in chinos, not in his PJs. He was standing up in his Armani. Yves Saint Laurent, Pierre Cardin. He is injured, but he's looking like $1 million. The way you look is a prophetic statement to the way things will be. Some of you need to start looking like $1 million. You need to start dressing like $1 million. Put on $1 million attitude, even while you're injured. Because you're projecting the next big thing. You're projecting the next you. You're prophesying through what you're wearing. He was believing, he was involved, he was hoping against all hope. And as the camera followed the actions on the field, God's camera follows you to see if it's all about you or if it's actually about the kingdom of God. It's time for C3 San Diego to bench it like Beckham. Not be in a season of high performance right now, but you can be in a season of high family. To create a great church, you've got to have high performance, but also you've got to have high family. Every son needs a dad. You know, all the dads are crying over milk they spilt under their refrigerator. And so they call themselves out from being a dad, and yet every son who's on the field every now and again glances and looks at the bench in order to get moral, social, spiritual support from the bench. And when they see the bench not sitting but standing, they are encouraged to hit longer, to strike faster. They are encouraged to be more accurate. They're encouraged to be more, to do more with everything that they have. That's what happens. Every daughter needs a mother. Every daughter needs an auntie. It's not the end of the game. It's the season for high family. It's not all about performance. You ought to stop having a love language of results and have a love language of family. That this is about all of us together doing well. Every guy needs a brother. Every younger brother needs an older brother. Every older sister needs a younger sister. Everybody needs a nephew. Can you see God's wisdom in this? That while you're injured, God says, oh, it's good news for me. You can now be high family instead of high function. But you can't do with it because your identity is in function. You need to stop striving. You need to pick up your cross. You need to move out from high function back into high family. You need a cleansing of your previous identity. Some of us just need to, you know, you might have been involved in the stupendous goals of 2008 and the winning header of 2009, soccer terms. You might have been part of the team of 2012 that scored a hat trick and won the world final. Yeah, but we're not, this is 2017. 2017, what about the team of 2017? How's that going? How's the team of 2017 going? No, that's what your mind ought to be on. Is you might have hit the winning header of 2012, but we're not in 2012. Congratulations, thanks for breaking through on my behalf. Thanks for being legends. But what are you doing now? Just crying, sulking, taking the ball with you? Or are you standing up in your Armani with your Jimmy Choo's on? Are you putting everything into the team of 2070, saying, you can do it. Come on, you can do it. Come on, kick it harder, kick it faster. Come on, Johnny, you can do it. Come on, you can do it. Let's go for it, let's go for it, let's go for it. In your injury, it proves it's not all about you. It's all about the kingdom. You know, in 1929, there's a guy called Roy Riggles, and he was in the Rose Bowl final. And when he grabbed the ball, he was amazed that when he ran with it, no one was actually cheering. And then one of his own teammates went and tackled him. Thought, this is the weirdest thing in the world, till he realized he's running the wrong way. And he was absolutely mortified because everybody was there. His whole identity was there. And his whole identity collapsed just in the space of 5 seconds. His whole reason for being, his whole love language of success collapsed right in front of him. And the guy called halftime, so they went out for halftime. And then Coach Price was trying to encourage everybody. And then he said this that surprised the entire team. He said, same team, second half as first half. And Roy Riggle starts to cry. He says, I'm not going out there. It's the last thing. I've just embarrassed myself in front of the entire nation. I'm not going out there. And just before everyone was to go out there, Coach Price simply said this, and I'll say this to you today. He said, Roy, he said, the game is only half over. He stood up, walked out into the Rose Bowl. The next day, the newspaper said he played like a man possessed by a demon. That's your future, possessed by angels. That's your future, possessed by the Holy Spirit. What are you doing living in a hole? What are you doing with the tears of self-pity? At some stage, you've got to realize Saul is dead. You've got to wipe your eyes clean and clear and realize the second half is about to begin. And I say this from a pastor's heart, from the heart of a shepherd, the game is only half over. It's only half over. You think, wow, gosh, look, I'm 65. No, Jesus did everything he did in a tenth of his lifespan. So what God can do if you're 65 in the next 6 years is astronomical things under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So stop thinking, I've blown it, I've missed it, I'm on the shelf. It's lie based on your inferiority complex. Got this won't come up on the board, but I've got what just one simple scripture for you, and you know the scripture from Song of Songs chapter 2, and it just says this in verse 10 to 13. It says, arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come with me. See, the winter's over, the spring has come, the rains are over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the season of singing has come, the cooing of doves is heard in the land. The fig trees form their early fruit. The blossoming vines spread their fragrance. The winter's over. The spring has come. I prophesy that directly into your heart right now. It's the end of winter. Of you cowering under your history, cowering under the coldness of your circumstances. The winter's over. Spring's come. Spring. Things start to grow. Things start to change. We get ready in spring for summer. C3 San Diego and all the new people that are here, get ready. The game's only half over. The best half is about to begin. You want to go field to bench, bench to bench, bench back to field. Field to bench, bench to bench, bench back to field. That's your life. That's your life. Restoration, reinvention. Play like a madman. Rest, restoration, reinvention. Play like a madman. Don't be a one-hit wonder. Be a legend. Father, I pray for the family spirit. The spirit of family to hit this place. I pray that you'd warm people's lives up as they realize that every Johnny on the platform needs a dad. As they realize that every garrison needs an uncle. And Father, I pray that you would help wipe the tears from every eye in this place right now. And I pray that you'd turn our mourning into dancing. Turn our sorrow into joy. Father, we want to thank you, God, for blessing our lives and for turning our lives around today. It's taken us by surprise, God. We thought you were going to motivate us by just kicking us in the backside, but it's different. It's as if you're for us. It's as if you're a coach to us. It's as if your kindness is now leading us to repentance. We say yes, Lord. Come on, whisper yes, Lord, every person in the room, from the back to the front, oldest to the young, just whisper yes, Lord. Benching it like Beck. Benching it like Beck.
take off our sackcloth and ashes. Put on our piekadon. In Jesus' name. And there's some people in this room who, just through the intensity of it, you've grabbed the ball and you've shot out of the arena and you found yourself down dark alleys and doing things that you never intended to do and walking in places that you never intended to walk into, building relationships with people who were never God's plan A, they were plan B. And yet you find yourself here today because God's found you. You didn't find God, He found you. And He wants to lead you back to His plan and His purpose, to the arena of the kingdom of heaven. To the place of joy, to the place of peace, to the place of destiny. That's where He wants to lead you back to. And there's others here today who have never been in the arena. You've been in a cold freeway called religion, almost run over by the starkness of the law and feeling condemned by never matching up to what you thought you could match up to. And now God is calling you off the freeway, taking you by the hand back to the arena of His love, back to the arena of His kindness. If that's you with every eye closed, and you're a backslider wanting to return today, or maybe you've never been a part of the kindness of God, and you've been part of the harshness of religion, you want to return, this is the time to do it. I'm going to pray a prayer, and I want you to help pray this with me, and everybody help us out. Dear Lord Jesus, thank You for finding me. I'm amazed that You did. Your kindness meets me today. And I thank You for taking me just the way I am. And I have decided to surrender to You. To surrender my will, my desires, my history, my future to You. I ask You to forgive me of every sin, every misgiving, every wrong relationship, every wrong thing I've done. Cancel my sin. Be my Lord, be my leader, and be my coach. Be the coach of my life and coach me into greatness in Jesus' name. Every eye closed in this room. It's a very short prayer, but if you prayed that very short prayer, I'm going to get you to do one more thing. I'm going to get you on a count of three to lift up your right hand and leave it up till all the hands are up. I suspect there's going to be quite a few hands that are about to go up, and this is, you just need to draw a line in the sand between your history and your future. And you lifting up your hand is almost like you grabbing a twig and putting a mark in the sand between night and day, between history and future. And some of you just absolutely need to do that. You prayed that prayer, but now you need to just make a declaration. That's me. I'm not going back. I'm not a one-hit wonder. That's me. I'm here with Jesus Christ from now on. That's my commitment. If that's you, with every eye closed, I'm going to count to three. I'm going to get you to lift up your hand. Leave it up till all the hands up. Nobody looking around. 3, 2, 1. Lift it up right now. Lift it up. Yeah, hands are going up. Hands are going up. Lift it up. Lift it up. On my left-hand side, there's one hand, two hand, three hand, four hand. In my little middle section of the back, there's five hand, six hand, seven hand, eight hand, nine hand, 10 hand. At the back, there's 11 hands. On my right hand side, there's 12 hands, there's 13 hands, there's 14 hands. Gosh, gosh. Everybody stand up. Put your hands down. Everybody stand up.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.